Hello and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. I am Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here with my friend and partner, David Landuli. Hey, David.
Hey, Margaret.
We wanted to talk today about the line. The line. I'm sure people are like, what the hell are you talking about? In
Well, isn't our
coaching.
old song "Walking the Line"? It's
It's a Johnny Cash song. I'll
yeah, Johnny.
walk the line. Yeah,
All right, let's walk the
this
line together.
let's walk the line. So when we're talking about the line, we're really talking about your outlook, your mood, your perspective on what's going on around you. And when you are above the line, you are in flow, you are connected, you are open. Right? You can summon curiosity, you can listen better. And when you get below the line, you're just kind of like got a big box over your head, right? Bag over your head. What else is below the line? You feel victim.
Eeyore is below the line.
Right. Everything is happening to me in this whole
To
world.
me.
To me,
Right.
everything. Yeah.
So above me, above the line is, by me, I have agency.
Right. I have
And
choice.
below the line is, to me, I'm a victim.
Right. Whatever's going
Right.
on. And we wanted to pick this topic because lots of people we are speaking to, for different reasons, are finding themselves pretty below the line. I think there are a lot of people who feel pretty wrapped up in the news cycles and are feeling very below the line, very hopeless because of that. And then, of course, there are many, many other people, some same and some different, but who have other things going on, who have parents that are troubling or that they're caring for, who have difficult teenagers, who have terrible bosses, who have medical things that they're recovering from. And so we just thought, why don't we talk a little bit about what helps us go from below that line to above the line?
The first thing I think to notice is human, you could get caught up in the I have to be above the line syndrome, which would actually be a below the line position to come from.
True. Right. Like if you start to worry about, like, not only am I below the line, but now I'm worrying that I'm below the line. Ah!
Right,
Yeah.
exactly. So, like, judging yourself as being below the line would be a below the line thing.
It's gonna propel you further below the line.
Or saying, "Oh, look at me, how good I am. I'm above the line." That actually is a below the line thing.
Yeah, but you might notice that you feel spacious or right,
Right.
like not, it's not a report
Joyful,
card. Yeah.
but it is this. Where you are, when you think about it, like a horizontal line, and if you might remember from your high school or college physics or math, you have like a sine wave, like a wave that goes up and up above the line and below the line. We're constantly going up above the line and below the line.
Yeah.
And so this is like being human or being a human being. That's just the nature of how we operate.
Yeah.
And so the invitation is just to notice, where am I?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I learned when we learned about this is one of the things that plunks you solidly and pretty staunchly below the line is when you get attached to being right in a conversation or an argument or a disagreement.
Oh, did somebody say politics and Fox News and CNN?
Well, certainly there, but even in a right in an interpersonal, like who did the dishes, right? It's my turn to do the dishes, it's your turn to do the dishes. But as soon as we get sure that we are right in a conversation, again, about politics or anything else, we are like, bloop, below the line, right? There's no
Yeah.
more listening. There's no more spaciousness. There's no more, it's not a conversation anymore, right? There's a lock. It's like the document gets locked on Microsoft Word and you can't edit it anymore. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. You lock in, you get locked into your righteousness. We call it a in some of the landmark training that I did years ago, we call it a righteousness racket.
A righteousness racket.
Yeah. And you're running the racket on yourself and the other person because you get a payoff. Like you get your, you get your righteousness on,
You think you
it
get
makes you
like, is
feel
the payoff?
good.
It makes you feel good, like you get a little shot of dopamine
Yeah.
or adrenaline
Yeah.
or something.
Right. No, exactly right. I think that's Margaret.
That's a what? Say that
That's
again.
exactly right,
That's
Margaret.
right. Oh my gosh, I'm right. I'm right.
Yeah. So there is a payoff, running this register. And you can look, I mean, take a look for yourself when you're running the I'm right, you're wrong kind of racket. But there's a payoff, but there's a cost.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
And
there's a cost.
I think before, sometimes before we even have the skills to notice that locked in nature in ourselves, we sure do notice it in other people, right? Which is useful not to judge. I'm not encouraging everybody to judge other people, but just notice when you are having a heated conversation or a disagreement with somebody, and the other person gets sure that they are right and that there's a black and there's a white and that they are, there's no gray, that like they just have the answer and that's it. Like you notice for yourself when the other person does that, like all the oxygen is gone, right? There's no space. You're not going to change that person's mind because they're not listening anymore. There is no communication that is still happening. And guess what? When you get sure that you're right, you do the same thing. That's right.
It's true. What I've noticed is when I'm down below the line, I like to pull other people down there with me. That's another behavior,
There's a human trait, if ever there was one.
Oh, name your politician is so wrong. And then you like enroll other people in your righteousness about them being wrong. You
Yeah,
know?
true. That's
Yeah.
another thing that we do.
Or as the, I think, did you say it, but misery loves company or something
I
like
didn't say it, but you're clearly thinking it.
It does. There is a comforting in your misery when you drag people down below the line, you know. Now, there's also, I think, similarly, when you are able, when you're above the line and you can be curious and open and loving and kind, you can, like, people will see that and some of them will want to come up there with you. You can enroll
I
them in
think
that.
joy loves company too, not just misery.
Joy. Joy does love company. Especially if you're high eye on the disc like you and I are. We just love to enroll people in joy.
We do, and bring people with us. I really
Yeah.
wanted to just explore a little, David, if you're willing to talk about this. I think many of our listeners know that you had knee surgery several months ago, and what they may not know is that the recovery, I think, has kicked you in the ass a little harder than you were expecting. And
Without a
it's so
doubt,
easy with stuff like that to just be pulled below the line and stay there. So, I'm just curious, like what has worked for you when you have been able to find that way to climb up over your line?
Well, yeah, I'm just 2 months post surgery, and it has been a very, very difficult, challenging recovery. I didn't think it was going to be this challenging and difficult. So that's like the first thing where I would get below the line is like, this shouldn't be so difficult and challenging.
Yeah,
Like, well, there I am below the line,
Yeah.
you know, and this just shouldn't be this way. Right? And
Yeah.
then you can wallow in that. this wasn't supposed to be like this. That's another way of expressing it. So I've been through that. I will say that this recovery, the surgery and the recovery has been a good teacher. The pain associated with the recovery, the bodily pain, has been a good teaching for me on how quickly my mind can go below the line when I'm experiencing bodily pain, you know. So that's been like just good noticing for me. On top of that, just not getting sufficient sleep for the last 2 months has made me vulnerable to being dragged below the line, you know.
Yeah. When are
And
some
so
times when, sorry, go ahead.
what has worked? Doing my best to, this was a struggle, get back into some semblance of my routine. Like we talk about this in our positive intelligence program, having a morning routine and establishing a morning. I was way off my routine. And but I've been chipping away at it. It's been coming back, and that's been very helpful. Of course, taking one conscious breath is another, or maybe several, or maybe just chillax, put the ice pack on the knee and kick back in the recliner and just chill for an hour while that thing, you know, cools off. That was helpful, you know. So there was a few things. Certainly medication actually was not helpful for me, as we've talked about. You and I don't do well with pain medicine, and so that actually was not an antidote, and I generally wouldn't recommend that, you know, using drugs to get above the line. You know, they can help you get there, but it's a temporary kind of thing. Not saying don't do it, but it's like there's no permanence to that. There's no, like, you could pop pills every time you feel like you're going below the line, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
been a couple of a few things. I do think also, having good friends and family around, like in my case, my wife Lillian has been, you know, encouragement. That would be what has helped me when I couldn't see my own progress. Having some encouraging words. It's something we do in coaching quite a bit. You and I, like, and we talk about acknowledging clients for who they're being that they don't can't see. Or just I do a lot of encouraging of my clients because, you know, that's just who I am. Because sometimes they just need some encouragement, you know, and I needed some encouragement.
So asking for help is also, I think, right?
Asking for help, and I've been doing a lot of that. I had to necessarily. Yeah. I think encouragement is like a super, you know, important. I don't know if we really talked about it in the context of leadership and management. But as a leader, I think it's absolutely necessary for you and the audience who are leaders to encourage your people, especially when the going gets tough. Yeah.
I'd love to share some strategies in a minute, things that are working for me, but I want to stay with this topic of encouragement because I think there's a way where if it slips towards being just an anonymous cheerleader kind of thing, I don't think it's useful. So I think, to really encourage somebody, it has to be very personal, right? It really has to see where somebody is and Right? It has to be very customized for it to land and have impact.
Yep, that's true.
It's not always like, you're doing great, David, right? Like that would be a pretty
That
anonymous.
will not land very well.
Go, David. Yeah, not so much.
Way to get a good FU from me.
Yeah, so it's really something, like I can see how much you're hurting, and it moves me to see that you're still showing up, my friend, right? That would be more, I'm imagining, more encouraging. It feels better to say it.
I think that is a beautiful way to encourage someone.
Yeah.
Or, just as we have shared in our other podcasts on self-compassion, I know this is very difficult for you right now.
And self-compassion, you got to say it to yourself.
Well, but here's the thing. Sometimes as we've talked about, it can be very, very hard when you're going through a very tough time and to have compassion for yourself. And this is where I think someone in your corner, having someone in your corner to say, I know this is a very tough time for you,
Yeah.
without making it about yourself. Oh, I remember the time when I had knee surgery and you'll be all right. No. No. I know this is very tough for you. And I've also seen you handle this and even more. So while it may be very tough for you, I'm here for you. And if you need anything, just ask me. Ask for help. You could say something like that.
Yeah. Sounds like
So how
somebody
about you?
needs it.
How do you deal, like you're going through, I know you're feeling very off balance with everything that's going on in the United States in the political realm. And so I know I can't remember the word, how you describe it. What's the sensation that you
The
this that you
swirl, the
the
swirl.
swirl. Swirl, right?
Yes. Yeah,
Swirl,
and
the
many
river
of
swirl.
my Many of my clients who are nonprofit leaders are working with clients who are struggling pretty hard right now. So it's just, there's a lot in my field right now. I will say a couple months ago, somebody who I respect wrote a LinkedIn post that made me giggle, which is that she had read the third book in this romantasy series that she really loved, and she got it immediately when it was published and read it, and then she didn't have anybody to talk about it. And so she did a LinkedIn post about it, and apparently somebody from England had also finished reading it, and they spent all day like IMing each other about the book. And so she had her little book club with somebody she had just met on LinkedIn. The point of that though was like, what can you do that just is your guiltiest, funnest, most indulgent pleasure a little bit of the time? What can you do where if you are checking out and if you are not working or doing family time, like what's the activity that fills your tank that gives you so much joy again? And because I'm me, I started reading the series that she recommended. I'm totally a reader. That's something that I love doing. So, but it's really been looking for what is my most fun way to spend a half hour, an hour if I'm taking a break. I would say the second one is just sunshine, getting outside, moving my body just as much as possible. And the third thing, and this is when we're really, really stuck below the line. And this is a technique that some people, may have learned from a therapist, but it's really it's asking yourself, what's one or two things that I can see right now? And then seeing them. What are one or two things I can hear right now? It's an adaptation of a PQ rep, basically. What are one or two things that my fingers can touch that have some texture? And by inviting yourself into that moment of somatic engagement, that actually, I think the science of that is that can help pull you back above the line too. And those are for moments of pretty extreme frozenness below the line, that's a super helpful technique. Those are some of the things I'm working with. And like you, David, family time, time with friends, trying to, find things to laugh about. So those
Yeah.
have been my
Well,
techniques.
I was on a live session with Jim Dethmer today, which kind of prompted this podcast where he and his colleagues created this above the line, below the line
They created the
methodology.
line. They invented the line. No, they didn't
And
invent
they will come and sue you. That would be below the line.
it. They've not yet copyrighted the line.
The line, exactly. And he led us through. First of all, he's got a very calming presence, Jim Dethmer does, as you've experienced him also in another training that we did together. But, he led us through just a very mindful observation, just like right in this moment. Just in this moment. Can you just go into the body? That's where I think you're, what can I see? What can I touch? What can I hear? It can be super helpful to slow you down. And no, right in this moment, I'm okay. Right in this moment, yes, my knee hurts, but I'm okay. Like even if you're in bodily pain, right in this moment, I'm safe. But there's a few things that can help you come back above the line. So I thought that was brilliant that Jim's still out there helping us humans get above the line. So I guess we'll put maybe we'll put a link in there, or I don't know what we're going to do in the show notes. There is a link to a very nice video that the Conscious Leadership Group has on the iceberg being above and below the line that maybe we'll share a link to so you can kind of get a sense of what this is all about. And if you're more curious, then you want to reach out to Margaret or me and with some of our positive intelligence or other somatic techniques that we have, we would love to talk to you.
Give us a call.
All right, take care.